69, the Illinois Fighting Illini did not run all over the place. They changed the game plan, made me look like an idiot. We're going to talk to Kevin Ward and ask him why. And why did the defense give up some big scoring drives? We also talk about the emotions of Senior Day. We talk a little bit about the potential Big Ten championship that is looming and how we get there. It's a deep episode. Let's have a day. Let's go.
Episode 269 of the podcast. And guess what, ladies and gentlemen? It is that time. We've gone around the sun 100 times to the next 69 joke on this podcast. And this time, it's a 69 joke about how we would be the bottom end of a very dirty 69 with a homeless man if it wasn't for Phil and his lovable band of goons bailing us out of every football game. That's how we're beginning this podcast. Kluver, dig us out of that hole.
Kevin's face.
You guys remember the scene from the other guys when they're talking and they find the one dude's car and there's a bunch of homeless men having like an orgy in there? So I just felt about Drake's opening statement.
How does this podcast start like this?
I don't know, but Drake thinks that apparently our team is Dirty Mike and the boys.
Listen, all I'm saying is that we are truly getting bailed out by a good defense because, I mean, this is week 11 of the season, and we've been saying since week 2 or 3 that the offense has so many issues that really it doesn't seem fixable. And let's just be honest, like the quarterback change didn't change anything.
We're going to get to that. Iowa takes care of business, but not if you had the Hawks on the spread. It looked like you might get there with the Jack Campbell pick six, but then the defense decided to basically mimic.
Backups were in.
Yeah. The backups were in, and they decided to
Phil's play. Still pissed off about that last touchdown. Don't get me wrong, but the backups were in.
Yeah. Not to mention we had some backups in anyway, and we'll get to that as well. I'm curious, very curious to hear about your thoughts on the opening Illinois drive, Kevin, from a defensive standpoint. Few things to get to before that. Number one, thank you guys for subscribing, listening to the podcast, going to the YouTube, doing all of the things. Okay. We would love if you would go to Apple Podcasts or whatever platform you're on and leave us a review. One, it helps our show grow. It helps people who then find the show have an opinion about it, or at least get some, a little bit of background info. And two, it helps us.
Three, it gives us content to talk about.
Three,
we got some funny reviews to read.
Yeah, three, if you hate our guts and you want to tell us about it and give us a 1-star, hey, tell us about it. And if
we're just going to use that and we're just going to create more content.
Yep.
And it's just going to keep us going.
Absolutely. It's a content loop. And if it's great news and you love us and it's all good in the hood, give us a 5-star, let us know. The merchandise you have 2 days left on as of the drop of this will drop on 12/01 of Monday, November 22nd, the week of Thanksgiving. You have 2 days to go and get your Washed Up Walk-Ons merchandise. We will be blasting it on our Twitter, our Instagram, our Facebook for the next 2 days. So go find the link there. You can find it in our profile description or just DM me if you can't find the damn thing. At Craft Web Stores, tons of good feedback, tons of items already being bought and purchased, half of those proceeds going to the kids. You guys get to rep the walk-ons, tight end you, HBAM. You have awesome presents for family and friends for the holidays, and you get to donate to the children on top of that. Seems like a win-win-win to me, you know? And you have until Tuesday night to do so. So thank you so much. And then lastly, I want to thank the Walk-On Army for being absolutely incredible this weekend. I was on the big stage with Andy Peterson for about 12 minutes on the pregame show on Learfield Sports. Several of you stopped by, watched me broadcast live from there, stopped me afterwards, said, hey, Chandler, John, I know there were several others of you guys. I was stopped a ton this week. I don't know what it was about this weekend, but I was evidently noticeable. And then the post-game show at Mulligan's, there were several of you in walk-on Army uniform who came to the radio show and called in on the radio show. So you guys are absolute savages. Patreon.com if you want to join the official walk-on Army. Now that we have some...
Met a couple walk-on Army folks myself in Kinnick on Saturday. So
yeah,
never be afraid to come say hi.
My favorite
by a million.
Yeah, my favorite interaction of the day is they kind if they've seen the YouTube or they see the clips that go up on social media. Drake is obviously very noticeable. So if he was in Kinnick Stadium or around Iowa City, I think they would pick him out fairly clearly. Kev, you and I, you know, you're 6'1", right? I'm 5'10". We walk around okay. And especially on a good day, 5'10.4 on pro day.
5'10 hanging from your ankles.
Squatty. You are a squatty little smurfy little guy.
5'10.4, no shoes on pro day. And also a 34-inch vertical because I could jam my shoulder down into the socket and scheme that test.
That was you got yourself what, like 6 inches on that thing?
No, maybe 4 inches.
It was impressive. Your scat mobility you had there.
Yeah. I still jumped 34 even on the jump pads once upon a time. Incredible stuff. And Iowa 33-23 over Illinois. Like I said, it should have been probably 17. The defense gave up a 5-play drive very quickly towards the end of the game. I actually left after Shudak kicked the extra point. Kicked the field goal to go up 10. That was about 2.5 minutes left in the game. I walked out of the stadium. I made it to north of 80 on our way to Cedar Rapids before the game was over. And there was two.
Yeah, it kind of dragged on in the end.
My goodness. I was like, holy smokes. And the Hawks come away with a victory. They don't cover. I don't know. Do you know what the line ended at, Kev?
I think it was still around 12. I think it stayed around 12.
Okay. I've been good this year. I was not good this weekend. Oregon evidently is a fraud. I chose them +3. Utah made them look like a middle school team on Pac-12 after dark. And my other pick was Wake Forest. Clemson decided to wake up and play one day this year. And it was against the Wake Forest Demon Deacons. Is that what those guys are?
I actually don't know what their mascot is.
I think it's the Wake Forest Demon Deacons.
That is absolutely correct.
Yeah. So Wake Forest drops their second game of the year and doesn't help me out with my bet. Kevin, you bet on, remind me.
Minnesota, -7 versus Indiana. They covered pretty easily. 35-14, I think, was the final.
Indiana continues to get shit on.
Yep. My other one was Rutgers +17.5 because Penn State had like 30 dudes out. And Penn State still wins 28-0. So that's what you get for betting on Rutgers.
Yeah. And you deserve that.
And I do. And I'm not going to make that mistake again. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm not going to bet on Rutgers anymore. When you bet on bad universities, you're going to get a bad result. Okay.
The fucking Scarlet Knights are. They shouldn't even be in the goddamn conference, let alone have people putting money on them. Okay. They go out there and shit the bed. Never seen anything like it. Been coaching since 81. All right. And then Drake, I know you took the Niners who covered big time, -6.5, and then Green Bay couldn't get it done for you.
No.
It's tough.
And we tried to ice Wisconsin.
We tried.
And it didn't work.
It almost happened, dude.
Hey guys, A for effort from the squad.
Did you guys see the end of that game and the ref swallow his whistle like an absolute bitch?
I did. So in real time, it looked like, you know, could go either way type play. When you slow it down, the defender definitely got there.
Pretty bad. Pretty bad. And I understand the ref in those situations. They are more prone to swallow the whistle and let fate be fate.
Because, I mean, you throw the flag and you get it wrong. I mean, that completely changes the game.
Right. So. And.
But I just knew it. I just knew it was going to happen. Nebraska wasn't going to win, but they were going to cover the damn spread.
Those bastards.
Worst of worst, both worlds.
And now we have to cheer. Now we're literally in the rowboat with PJ Fleck this week.
We are rowing the boat.
And
can we crowdsource, start a GoFundMe for maybe a trolling motor, you know, maybe a little, get a couple extra horsepower in that rowboat.
Can we get a 5,500 on that thing? Can we put something on the back? Can we get a wakeboard motor maybe even, and just run that thing out of the stadium? And hey, the Gophers go home with Paul Bunyan's axe, the Wisconsin Badgers.
I believe it's in Minnesota.
Okay. Well, they have to drive home regardless. So they drive home sad, and the Iowa Hawkeyes, granted, might get beat by 500 by Ohio State with the way they're playing. They made Michigan State and Mel Tucker. I saw the funniest tweet of the weekend where it said, Mel Tucker, hey guys, did you get the DocuSign? Michigan State's athletic department. We checked the spam folder. It didn't come through. We don't see it. So, you know, the Michigan State
one game into a $100 million contract loses by 49.
And he almost gives up 100 points. Ohio State could have got there if they wanted it to be that.
Oh God. Yeah. They had three receivers over 100 yards. CJ Stroud had two more touchdown passes than he had incompletions. That's ridiculous.
Oh, God.
So Michigan State's defense gets absolutely exposed, which, you know, never really was kind of considered a really great defense.
No, but no. And Purdue proved that.
They had no business being in the college football playoff conversation.
Yeah, and things start to work themselves out.
Right. And, you know, over the course of the season, the teams that deserve to be in the conversation make their way there, and the ones that don't fall off.
What does happen, and I'm sure we'll talk about this more on it'll actually be Tuesday night as they release the with our guy Jeremiah Searles, everybody who loves the Nebraska crossover, because we've got this guy who played for Nebraska, played for the Vikings, the Bills, multiple NFL teams, and now works for the Husker Sports Network in their radio team and broadcast. He's a sideline guy. Jeremiah Searles, he will be back on the podcast Tuesday night, and we are super excited to have him on. He always provides great insight, and we've been told multiple times by members of the Walk-On Army that somehow he makes a podcast that's about Nebraska a very entertaining and quality production. So he's definitely better than all three of us on the mic, and so he will have the floor on Tuesday. We'll be talking about Cincinnati being a legitimate Final Four team.
Yeah, I mean, Cincinnati, they just keep winning games, you know, not always.
Just doing their jobs.
Pretty fashion. They had a pretty convincing win on Saturday.
Yes.
With Oregon losing, it's pretty clear cut. They win their next two games, they're in.
Yeah, the ACC is eliminated because they don't have anybody with one loss.
Everyone's got at least two losses there. Pac-12 has, everyone has at least two losses.
Oklahoma finally lost to Baylor last week.
Yep. So
it's looking like Ohio State, Cincinnati, Bama, Georgia.
Well, you know, say Michigan wins the next two games. Michigan's probably,
they have a shot as well. The beginning of that conversation was simply that Iowa still has a chance to find themselves in Indianapolis. And what do you guys think? Would you rather, because here's the debate, and I know where Drake's going with this. I think Drake says, screw it. Don't let the buses roll into Indy. Don't let the Hawks go to that torture, that slaughterhouse, and just take our 10-2 season and be happy with it. I say, just because you don't get there very often, because it's Thanksgiving week, let us sit at the adults table and let at least be in on the conversation, even if we're not allowed to talk.
All right. So what was the question?
Would you rather, in this very specific scenario of this year, this Iowa Hawkeye team, goes and plays this Ohio State team in the Big Ten Championship, assuming that Wisconsin loses and we win, which is a lot to assume because I'm a little worried.
Are you asking me if I want to go to the Big Ten Championship or are you
and get in
alternative? We win on Friday, but Wisconsin wins on Saturday. Would I anybody cheering for that? What type of question is that?
Well, because the more than likely scenario is we lose by 5 touchdowns.
Who gives a shit, man?
And that's
what are we here for? We're going to win championships.
And that's
you can't win championships if you're not playing for a championship.
Don't yell at me.
The 2017, we're supposed to lose by at least 4 touchdowns to Ohio State. Crazy shit happens in football. Say it happens, you know, Ohio State rolls Michigan, we beat Nebraska, Minnesota somehow gets the win over Bucky the Badger. Are we going to be I think Vegas has it at least 24, maybe more points, dogs.
Yeah.
But what type of fan doesn't want to play for a championship? What type of – I mean, I'm not even going to entertain the thought that the team doesn't want to be there. So
I'm on your side here. I am –
I just think that's a preposterous
– I saw it from multiple people. Like, hey, if we don't go, I'm not going to be too mad about it because
– I'll even put it this way. I'd rather get embarrassed in the Big Ten Championship than not be there.
I agree. That's where I'm at.
I'd rather get embarrassed in the Rose Bowl than not have gone.
Yes.
I think I got misinterpreted a little bit. When I asked you, do you think this is the Iowa team that we want to send to the Big Ten Championship? That was kind of like a ponder on it question, right? Like,
yeah.
Obviously, and Kevin then – pose the question. He's like, well, do you not want to win every game? Obviously the answer is yes, you want to win every game, which means that in theory, then you would want to go to the Big Ten Championship.
Right.
And I want to win. I want Iowa to win on Friday more than I want them to win most games because it's against Nebraska, right? This one is actually has a little bit extra behind it for me personally, just because I despise those scumbags. So obviously I want the Hawks to end up 10-2. And if fate so has it that that's how it pans out and we end up in the Big Ten Championship, that's great. And I'm very happy for the team that they get the opportunity to go out there and compete for a chance to win a Big Ten Championship. But can I look at you guys right now and be like, yeah, I think that the Hawks 10-2 deserve to go to the Big Ten Championship? In reality, the answer is no, because if Wisconsin shows up and stubs their toe, that's one thing, but they beat the shit out of us heads up. Like the scoreboard didn't show an absolute slaughtering, but the game was not close. And I just don't necessarily think that we would be the West represented. Like we should be. I think that Wisconsin heads up, man. I don't know what else to say about that. Like I want to beat Nebraska, and I think competing in the Big Ten Championship would be fantastic for the program, fantastic for the guys, and yeah, I hope they get the opportunity for it. But it also,
you just want to go ahead and crown the Wisconsin Badgers the Big Ten West champs?
No, but I think that it's kind of weird to be like, yeah, let's root for this team that we actually despise so that they beat another team we actually despise so that we can go to a game that it doesn't necessarily feel like we have the right to go to because this team beat the shit out of us. I don't know, man.
I think I know what you're saying.
I cannot agree with any part of that.
Let me try and decipher what Drake's.
I understand it.
What he's saying, I don't think he's saying that they don't deserve it, because then if we run that scenario, you then have Wisconsin with this loss in the last week of the year to a team that we beat, right? So does Wisconsin really then feel like they deserve to go?
That's a great point. And right, like, man, I want the Hawks to win, that's plain and simple.
And what you're saying is, does this team feel like, oh, at the beginning of the year, tell us that we're going to be in the Big Ten Championship. What kind of product would we want to put on the field? No, we would obviously like to have a little bit more of a fluid.
Like, listen, man, we really needed Big Dick Shudak in the defense to beat Illinois.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, that's really how we've won games all year. There hasn't been a game. What's our biggest margin of victory? Maryland. And we got 7 turnovers. Like, that's how we won the game, right? Like, offense did their job against a defense that was bottom of the Big Ten. But we gave our offense the ball basically at the 50-yard line every possession because our defense was elite, the best it could be. So you're right. I understand where you're coming from.
I think this is the way I want to put it to Kevin. I agree with everything Kevin said, and he's 100% right. But to me, it feels like a really weird way to get there for us to cheer against a cheer for Minnesota.
Okay. So put it this way. What if the game days were flipped? What if Wisconsin lost to Minnesota on Friday and then we're playing for the right to get in the Big Ten championship on Saturday? Does that make
you always want
to? I don't think it does. If they lose 3 games in the Big Ten, we win 2. That's it. I mean, we go.
You're right, dude. 100%. Yeah, and you're right. And I want the Hawks to win, period.
I also think Drake,
like a weird way to get in.
Yeah, it does inherently when you've put yourself in that position by losing to the team that currently has the lead in the West and you lost another game, to then you have to like sort of it's controlling your own destiny, right? So that's what feels a little scummy. However,
okay, but I mean, yeah, the moment you lose a Big Ten game that's on your side of the conference, you've kind of lost control of your own destiny. Would it have changed for you if Wisconsin had lost this week to Nebraska? Then we're back in control of our own destiny. I mean, at the end of the season, it's going to play out how it's going to play out. Whoever has the least Big Ten losses is going to go. If they're tied, the winner between those two is going to go.
I mean,
it's clear cut.
Kevin's speaking only facts, and I'm going purely off of how I felt watching the Hawks line up against Wisconsin head to head.
It's truly just a fact that you don't believe that they are playing well enough to
compared to how Wisconsin's been playing as of late.
I don't feel like the West has as strong of a representative as the West should this year. That's how I feel.
And you know what? Like that may be true, but
maybe. We'll find out. We'll find out on December 4th.
I think there's merit to your idea, Kevin, that like, you know, when we beat Michigan on a last second field goal, you know, Walmart guy said we needed a prayer, right? When we beat Ohio State, when they came to Kinnick in 17, we probably needed a few prayers before that game. And somehow they happened, right? And so there's still always that possibility, and you never are guaranteed to just get blown out of the water. As good as Ohio State is playing, as good as Wisconsin's playing, whatever it may be. So interesting sort of conversation. I just saw multiple people on Twitter say like, oh God, we're going to somehow end up there and then get slaughtered. Not really something
and
we want.
Here's the thing is I don't think we get slaughtered necessarily because I think that we have a potential to hang out better than other teams do defensively against Ohio State.
I would agree.
But you know, and Kevin is right at the end of the day, plain and simple. Kevin's right.
Kevin's usually right.
Don't overthink it. Don't outthink yourselves. One, we still have to win a game, which we are actually dog against
right
this week.
Yeah. That's the first.
And Wisconsin has to lose a game, which they are, I think, a touchdown favorite.
Yeah.
And you know, Ohio State, Michigan's probably been a good game.
I'm very excited to watch that game. Yeah. Absolutely. So we'll move on from that conversation, get into a little bit of the recap here. First off, the last Ward tailgate of the season was fantastic. I enjoyed my 70 minutes at the tailgate. Some good. What was the kind of food that I ate?
It's called the halal guys.
Halal.
Yeah.
Is that Greek?
I think it's like Greek, Middle Eastern type food.
Well, I ate a combination of rice and grilled meats.
It's some rice, some like Greek chicken,
pita,
Euro meat,
yeah,
lettuce, tomatoes, all mixed up with some. It's not exactly like tzatziki sauce, but it's kind of similar.
It was good.
Really did.
That's Mediterranean food.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I smoked a handmade by beef because I then had to run to meet up with a guy. Beef handmade, of course. Lauren and I a bowl of this food, and it was fantastic. Sad that it was our last day in beautiful Iowa City. It's always sad to kind of put that away for the year. Sad that the Ward tailgate as it is sort of in the end of its career a little bit. All of the Ward, the Wards are all done playing in the Big Ten until
for a while, man.
But your parents have mentioned that
they ain't gonna do it forever, but we got a few more spins out of that
thing. Well, there's some potential there that the walk-ons take over the spot. There's some things discussed between Kevin and I this weekend where, in a perfect world, if all things and stars align, there could be a walk-on tailgate down the road, some live podcasts, and some shit show opportunity in Iowa City right across from historic Kinnick Stadium. So stay on the lookout. It's not going to die. I know that. I thought that the game would go this way, or at least would end up a similar score to this. I did not think that they would cover. Like Drake mentioned, we needed.
Dude, our quarterback was like 8 for 21 against Illinois. I know that there were some drops, man. I know that his receivers did not do him favors on about 4 different plays, right? But at the end of the day, that's still, if they catch those balls, that's hardly 50%.
Six for 17 was
his stat line.
6 for 17, and I would say that there was 5 or 6 balls that should have been caught. So it probably should have been 11 or 12 for 17. This was definitely the worst day overall for receivers and drops that we've had this year, and not really as of recent memory for me. Not sure what's going on. It did appear from, at least inside the stadium, like it wasn't all on the receivers. He threw a couple of those balls pretty hot.
Yeah, so there was a couple balls over the middle that were a little too hot. I mean, we've had this Petrus has had this problem. Stanley had that problem. Yeah, like just throwing the ball over the middle, way too hot. Like, chill out, dude. There was a couple balls where I felt like he threw a little late, which if he would have gotten it there sooner, would have been an easy catch. Instead, it was a contested catch that, you know, defender is able to get his hand in there. And then there's a couple who just flat out drops.
Yeah. There was a tweet by someone who was there's somebody, I don't know where he gets this analytics from, but he said, Alex Padilla's drop percentage, which is defined as percentage of on target passes that are dropped by the receiver, is 22%. That's the highest of any quarterback in the FBS with over 50 attempts. Padilla has 84 attempts. Yesterday, it was 40%. His adjusted completion percentage, which is sort of a bullshit stat or a foo-foo stat.
Pretending every single one of those balls is caught.
Is his adjusted completion percentage of on-target passes is 71.4%. So
let's call it 60. Let's say he threw for 60%. Now we're looking at an issue where the playmakers that we're trying to rely on, aside from our running back, are two freshman wide receivers who aren't really catching the ball that well. And right now we have a little bit of everyone.
You know, you had senior wide receivers that weren't – Reganey had 2 drops, two bad drops.
But that's what I'm saying is right now our playmakers on offense are looking like we're going to be relying – on the young guys.
Yeah. That's where we're at. Right. And as you said, at the start of the show,
young offensive line, young receiving core, and a quarterback situation that isn't that great.
You're seeing
tells me we got a whole lot of room to improve still.
Yeah. You're seeing what the product is simply going to be with minimal week to week improvements and what you can do. Bowl prep could be huge, right? Like this could be a year where, regardless of how the end of this last week ends up.
Yeah, I mean, especially with like true freshmen, they've never been in a spring ball before.
Right. So,
you do a lot of your developing.
Assuming that Padilla, which this was interesting too, Petrus led the swarm out of the tunnel. And I was like, oh boy, here we go. Are we 7 going back in? What's going on here? But Padilla played. I assume Padilla plays in this last game. After 3 games, how are you going to say, all right, Petrus, you're back in for the last game?
So,
I mean, here's my question. Petras got hurt playing, correct? I mean, he got landed on.
Yeah.
And the consensus around the building was that they were going to stick with Petras, correct?
That is correct.
And so if a quarterback gets hurt leading your offense and it was the guy that you were going to stick with and the guy who's come in has not shown that the offense is significantly better in any way with him leading it, why would you lead the precedent that your quarterback who got hurt playing for you doesn't get his job back when he's healthy?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think you have to compare now that you have a couple of basically call it three games of Padilla, you kind of have to compare the body of work and what you can expect to get out of each quarterback. You can't really do that when you have a backup that hasn't played a whole lot, but I think we're at that stage where you can. Going back to that drop rate, I think I can maybe shed a little bit of light. It looks like Padilla's ball comes out a little wobbly.
It's not as clean. It's not as clean.
Doesn't throw as tight a spiral as Petras, and that actually makes it a lot harder to catch the ball.
Yes.
Because if that ball, the nose of that ball is wobbling, it hits you in the palm of the hand, it makes it significantly harder to catch. Versus a tight spiral goes right through your hands, catch it, you know, make the diamond. We all learned how to do that.
Thory Taylor figured that out this weekend. You know,
exactly.
Had some snapping issues. No, I'm kidding. The ball was just low. We're going
to have to go into that now, too, Clue.
Yeah, I know.
I think Petras throws a better ball.
I would agree.
Padilla is clearly more mobile.
Clearly. Like
not even a question. I think Petras has just a better command of the offense.
I would agree. I've seen Petras make checks. I don't think Alex Padilla is at the point where he makes checks yet.
Yeah, and I saw him kind of second-guess himself on some throws he should have made. So, like, there was one third and five or something. It was early first quarter where he kind of pumped, like, held the ball like a second too long.
Yep.
Threw the ball to Laporta. That's one of those contested balls where if he gets it out right away, it's a first down. Another is a rollout. Laporta's wide open about 12 yards down.
And he didn't throw it.
That's his first read, and he didn't throw the ball. Right.
I was confused.
I mean, he took the 5 yards that was there. I mean, it's not horrible, but Spencer Petras makes that throw, and that becomes a 12. He was pretty wide open, probably a 20 yard.
Oh, he was. There was nobody around him.
I think long term, Padilla does have more upside. But
agreed.
I think if Petras is healthy, I think I'm leaning towards throwing back Petras in there.
I love it.
The thing I'd be worried about is, you know, he hasn't played in a month. There's a little bit of you can say too about like rhythm of going at it week to week to week. You know.
Yeah.
So
here's my take.
I'm glad I don't have to make a decision.
Here's my take on it. And we had this conversation in our chat this weekend. Regardless of which guy you put out there,
it's not going to be a huge difference either way. Probably
you're not sitting there kicking yourself like, oh my God, are we screwing ourselves because this other guy gives us some magical thing? The other guy, no, you're not right. Padilla is more mobile. And I would say in
theory, but is he a playmaker with his feet? That's a very important distinction.
He started to show it this week. This weekend,
he can avoid some sacks and he can get yards when he has to scramble. Which is two things I cannot say about Petras.
Does he give the defense something that they have to game plan for? Is he that mobile?
Just because we don't run our quarterback?
Here's where it is. It comes down to this very simple. Do you want the slight edge of Spencer Petras, who has a better command and throws a slightly better ball? Or do you want the slight edge of Padilla, who in three games has shown that basically once or twice a game, he's going to make a play that Spencer Petras simply can't, arguably kind of won us the game against Minnesota, but some of those drops this weekend arguably kept us a lot closer to Illinois than we would have liked to have been. So again, these margins are so small. I really don't think it matters either way which way you go. And because of the injury.
16 versus a face in blackjack. Are you going to hit it? Or are you going to stay? You know, book says you're kind of fucked either way.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing is like.
Book's telling us we're fucked.
The boys, Phil and the boys are the lucky four card in the deck week after week after week. And that's really what we're playing off of right now, is we're begging the defense to give our offense advantageous field position so that we can hopefully get things rolling downhill, make a couple first downs and put points on the board. Like, that's the offense that I am watching with my two eyes. Yeah. And it sucks to say, because I really love Brian, and I don't think it's his fault. And I love the Hawks, and I want them to play well. And to be honest, man, the game is a whole lot more fun to watch as just a pure fan when the offense is playing well. But as is, we're just waiting for Phil's guys to get on the field so we can watch the playmakers play.
Well, I think the offense played a lot better than you actually give them credit for. We ran the ball pretty effectively.
Yeah. But
we did.
But every time that we got between in the red zone, you know, in the money zone or whatever you guys call it, the drives fizzled out. So you can play great between the 20s and rack up a bunch of yards, but those yards aren't that meaningful, man. Like, when we got into the important zone of the field, it was a lot of fizzling, and Shudak and Torrey Taylor had to be good.
52 carries for 172 yards. Goodson goes over.
There's an asterisk on that, though, because 30 yards gets taken out for the punt fiasco.
Oh, geez.
That counts as negative.
So we actually ran for 205 yards. And let me – God damn, I had – you hope as a specialist that things just all go well and the podcasters don't have to talk about you, right? But shit like this happens, especially when the podcasters are former specialists. I got to say something about it, okay? Kid has done both their faults, right? I've sent a ball in my career. I sent two balls that low to our punter before, right? Now, the punter both times went down and played catcher and backstopped it, got it out of there. Right. One of them was our senior year against Purdue in a, or no. One of them was our 2015 year clinching the Big West in Kinnick. It was cold as shit and I couldn't feel my fingers. And I put one basically on Dylan's foot. He went down and got it.
It's easy to kick if it's right there on his foot. Just kick it.
Yeah. Torrey tried that last year.
Just kick it right off the snap.
Yeah, just that op time is fast. No one's ever blocking it.
Taking a little BP.
Incredible. Someday, like 100 years from now, football, which won't be around because the CTE data will be crazy. Drake will be a case study. But they would have evolved the punt to there is no catching it. It's just the snapper snaps it right to the foot and they just smoke it. It was a low snap. That's on the snapper. It was a catchable ball that should not have gone through Torrey's legs. It's fifth. I'll call it 60-40 on the snapper here.
They both get a minus on the play. So
absolutely.
I mean, obviously, Kluve, I don't mean to steal your thunder here. The snapper's got to give him the ball. Punter's first priority is secure the ball.
To get the ball.
Before you even try to punt it, yeah.
And I think Torrey, I think part of the reason that Torrey seems, he's almost a little lackluster when it comes to like the urgency of those moments. He just sort of thinks, because he's so like, he doesn't know what Division I football is until last year. Like, he doesn't know the craziness of the moment that he's in. And I think sometimes just 2 or 5% slips, right? And he just kind of goes with the flow. And it was a very kind of go with the flow motion to try and get down there. It was in a tough spot. We opened up the game. We're punting, and then that puts the defense back again.
Already down 7-0, giving the ball like on the 30-yard line or something.
Defense gets us out of there with a field goal, but not good.
Hey, we got to credit the kickers in the game.
My goodness,
kicking show!
Holy shit, that other punter was putting on a show. Torrey. So
that other punter is the like Torrey Taylor's main competition for punter, best punter in the league, and probably the Ray Guy Award. He kicked the shit out of that.
Had a long of 59. Torrey's long was 53. They both averaged in the 40s, high 40s, and they had a day. Caleb won us the fucking game. The one that he missed, the 57 yarder, he didn't hit well, and it was a bad snap again, which I'm thinking was probably residual mental leaks from a true freshman who kind of fucked us over early in the game. That's hard to go back out there and continue to snap a football. I wouldn't know because that was perfect. You know? No, I'm kidding. It's the mental.
Shudek was a monster day.
Oh my God! And I think he has a great chance if the op is clean on the 57 yarder, putting that through as well. So
I mean, the 51 yarder had plenty of room. Left.
Oh, impressive shit! Impressive. Yeah. Kevin, we're gonna move to the.
How does a small guy kick a ball that far?
He's got a short lever arm that it can be moved really quickly, and it just produces a lot of force. I don't know. Let's move quickly to some recap of what Illinois sort of put out there. I'm curious on two things, Kevin. I said, and I told the people that Illinois is a running team. They are going to run the football. They come out and make me look like a dumbass, throw for 36 attempts and 250 yards on the Hawks and only run for 64 yards. What happened?
I think a little bit of game plan and a little bit of in-game adjustment. Iowa's run defense is really good. So they probably is like, hey, we tried to run the ball 60 times this game. It's not going to go well for us. So they probably had more of a passing game plan in mind.
Sure.
And when they came out and tried to run it a little bit, the front seven was just not letting them
get. We stuffed them pretty good.
Yeah, they had a couple runs get away. They had like an end around to one of the receivers, got yep. scrambled for like 15 yards. I think that was the long run of the game. That was yep. after a couple of missed tackles though. So, you know, you can't just keep running your face into a buzzsaw and hoping the result changes. So that's probably a little bit of it.
Which is what and a lot I of think, the Iowa,
you know, you can faithful. See by the first drive that they wanted to come out and throw, especially that our secondary is a little banged up.
Yeah,
that's where they thought they had the best chance to win, and they were probably right. And the first drive, they looked really crisp, really sharp. You know, part of that was
credit to a schedule.
Yep, some of that was some of our guys making mistakes. But later in the game, their pass game just kind of reverted back to the norm. They, you know, missing balls, dropped balls. You know, they kind of helped us out in the second half. They dropped more balls than I think we did.
They definitely helped us.
But we also kind of shored up our pass defense a little bit. The linebackers played really well pass defense, I think.
Jacobs, not so much early on. Had a
couple of nice breakups. And Dane Belton had a great, great pick.
Yeah.
Where I was right before the second half. We couldn't make anything out of it. But that first drive was a little bit – kind of nerve-wracking to see Illinois march 75 yards out of the
game. Well, it was, you know, we don't have Jack Kerner in there, and I'm curious to know what's going on there. We don't have Matt Hankins, who limps out for senior day. And
the rumor is done for the year.
Ugh.
No idea what. I think, yeah, Kerner comes out in
pads
here at halftime, like never is even going to see the field.
Right.
At halftime, he comes back out with like a sweatshirt and
yeah.
jersey over that. But yeah, we saw it because that first touchdown was a complete mental error. So everyone's playing cover three except for Dane Belton. So the tight end's just sitting right there in the middle of the field, wide open, walks in the end zone.
And that's what happens when you have a couple guys come in. There's some communication issues. Of course, like Kevin said, we were probably a little surprised that they wanted to throw the ball so much. And then part of that is just, hey, they scripted it up well. And when you have a vanilla defense, or what is more of a vanilla defense than most, and they just do it well, and eventually it's that bend don't break system. Sometimes at the beginning of the game, you can script against that well until they kind of catch on. And that's what it looked like. And
I mean, it was, there were some coverage issues. Like I said, there's one huge critical mental error.
Yeah.
I promise you, they didn't just get us on that play.
Right.
They didn't script that one up like, oh, they're not going to cover the tight end on this play.
I think they're going to leave him open on the 5-yard line.
they didn't practice that one on Thursday and like, oh, he's going to be wide open here, Brandon. Go ahead and throw it to him.
How was
a little bit of us there?
How was Quinn Schulte's play? We've got potentially the candidate of the year for next year's walk-on athlete if we're going to sponsor one. I'm thinking we send out, by the way, some walk-on gear kits to like some of those boys and get him.
You're telling me that it's going to be Quinn Schulte over Monty Potterbaum?
Well, we can do – well, who says we can't do both?
You said number one.
Well, my dude's playing as a sophomore starting – he'll be a starting safety.
Hey, no disrespect to the kid. Monty Potterbaum is number one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's good. He reminds me a lot of, like, Jake Gervais. You know, he's not overly athletic.
Oh, but... fuck that guy then.
Not overly athletic. Still in the league somehow, but whatever.
Yeah.
But is a really sure, sound football player.
Good. And that's probably why he's in the two deep behind Jack Kerner, who's one of our most experienced guys as well. So it'll be interesting to see him evolve. Again, he's a guy who bull prep, all these prep periods, bull prep, summer, spring, fall camp, you make so much jump when you're a young guy like that. He'll use that to his advantage, and we may need him depending on how those injuries play out. Kevin, I want to finish with this. It was senior day. We saw, I believe, 16 guys come out. What?
Please don't make me do it.
Do what?
Continue your thought.
I have no idea where you're going with that. I simply wanted to know what your guys' memories of senior day were like, slash emotions.
I said don't make me do it.
Okay. Because the one that came back to me that I had actually not thought about was the swarm is different, and it sort of hits you very quickly because you're in this prep and it's like, okay, we've got the schedule, bang, bang, bang. We come back into the locker room. Everybody pulls it up. Seniors are usually in the front or at least somewhere towards the front. Guys who don't play get to the back. And then Kevin's out of screen crying or something right now. And then all of a sudden, Kevin KF goes, all right, let's go. And you've seen those videos. Everybody stands up, says, you know, gives a little hoorah. And you start to walk out into the hallway that then leads into the tunnel. And there's Paul Federici or Ben Hansen, whoever it may be, pulling all the seniors back. Seniors back, let them through. And I thought about that moment when it happened. And in the moment, you're like, oh, shit. Oh, we're not leading this swarm. Like, this is... And it's this very surreal moment of these boys that you've been playing with, the juniors, they kind of take the lead and they walk down the tunnel without you. And all of this, I remember dapping up Ike and Josie and looking at you boys like, yo, this is it. Like, this is our, I get goosebumps talking about it right now. And so I just wanted to know if there's any, Drake probably, he's emotionless and kind of sits in the dark as you see him there. But,
dude, how did you know that I was just going to not have felt the same emotions that you guys felt?
Because you're a different human that is potentially part not human. And I just, and you've mentioned it before the first time we talked about this, but I know Kevin and I have, you know, all the feelings, quote unquote.
No, Kevin. Yeah. For me, it was, you know, it would go alphabetical order. So I'm in the back of the line. So it's standing in the tunnel, watching all you guys get called out. I'm like, damn, this is really their last time and my last time, and you don't want it to end. So I'm just like, I don't know. It's weird how like time always kind of plays this trick. Like, oh, you've got forever. You first show up on campus, like, I got 5 years here. I'm going to be here forever. You
know? For eternity.
You're 3 years in. It's like, I still got 2 years left here, man. That's forever. It's senior. And then a senior year is like, dude, I got a whole season left. And it's your last time getting in the stadium. Like, I've got like 12 guys in front of me. I'm like, oh, I still got 12 guys in front of me.
I've got 12 guys left. I've got forever.
Oh man, it's just trying to soak it all in. And it's time is really a son of a bitch, man. It really fucking is.
Drake, why do you not have that emotion
about it? And
I 100,000,000% feel the emotion of time as a son of a bitch. Nobody feels that like me. But the other things, man, I just don't miss it as much as you guys did. Like, I only enjoyed game days, really. Like, there was not that much joy in football for me once I became a battering ram and not really that much of a football player anymore, you know? Like,
but you didn't enjoy, you didn't.
Kluber threw balls between his legs, man. You think he had fun doing that?
I get it. But I don't know. I guess I just didn't have the same attachment, man, because like I don't have an attachment to the university. I simply have an attachment to the coaching staff. That's it. Like, you know, the people within Hanson Performance Center, and a very select few other people around the campus. But like the university itself, really all they've done for us postgraduate is showed us that they don't actually want us to succeed. They're just going to be a roadblock, not somebody that's going to help help their own. So to be honest, it's fuck the University of Iowa. They can burn to the ground for, and I could care less about the entire university. It's literally just Hanson Football Performance Center and Kinnick Stadium. And I just simply don't have the same deep rooted emotional connection that you guys do.
Yeah.
It's just not the same.
That's weird because on my end, man, when I'm,
I got sad on a Saturday, just watching the guys get,
yes.
Also too, some of the last dudes that we actually,
the last guys that we spent that freshman year with. Yeah. Or their freshman year was our senior season. I when I'm running out of that tunnel or when all that, you know, on the last bus ride over, I'm literally thinking about the opportunity to walk around town and be the Division I foot, be the Hawkeyes. And I'm thinking about the summer days grinding with the boys. And like, I'm thinking about everything, every single little thing I have an emotional connection to, and it's all going to be gone. And so that's why it's weird that like, you just didn't have a connection to any of that. It's weird that you say you only liked game days. The other 363 days a year were my favorite.
Horrible math.
353 days a year. Sorry. were some of my favorite days. Game day was great, but like Kevin said, I snap balls. I didn't wake up every morning and go, "Oh boy, I'm a fucking long snapper today, baby. I'm excited." You know, like I was, my game days were like the off season workouts with Josie when we were running, or with Kevin or with Ben Neiman, or there's a couple times I got thrown in with the skill groups and I was,
I also very much enjoyed that, but I was talking about football, like that. Dude, that's
for me, it's all together.
Dude, you were losing it all on that last game.
We were football players 365 days a year, you know, training. You know, we had to go to school. They made us play school.
No, they didn't. I didn't go.
For me, the entire college experience was what it was. That was what it was, being an Iowa Hawkeye football player. And I connected it all to each other. And all in all, it was the best experience of my life. Probably will be. So when you put me in the coffin, I'm probably going to be buried in my fucking jersey.
Dude. It's funny you say that, because I had so my uncle's the coach of Indianola High School. I had two of his kids this year have been offered preferred walk-ons to the University of Iowa, but they have some similar situations to you, Drake and Kevin, where you had some other opportunities to maybe go play on a scholarship somewhere. This kid DM'd me this weekend and he said, "Hey, I'd love to ask you a few questions." I said, "Shoot." He goes, "How was your time at the University of Iowa? How did they treat the walk-ons, yada, yada, yada?" And I said, "Dude," and I literally said, "I'm only 27, but for the rest of time, however many years I get left, there is not going to be a better 4.5 year period in my life. That as a whole, 4.5 years is going to be as concentrated and as incredible and special as a moment. You know, life with my family and my wife and my future kids, it's going to be great, but that's going to be drawn out."
What if your kids suck?
Right. Right, exactly.
Even more so to his point.
Even that's even, my kid's
gonna have to take his kid to his 8-year-old baseball team, watch him strike out 3 times.
Just like, hey, now
because I'm gonna start drinking. Kluber's gonna start drinking.
That hits home because in my last AAU tournament, I struck out 3 times, and one of them.
To be honest, Kluber already has the hairline of somebody that drinks too much.
You're right. That's true. That is true.
To the whole point, dude. It's almost like the graduation, you know, like your high school graduation of college football, and you're getting called out on the stage, and it's a period of my life where I just never wanted to see it go.
Drake's emotional synapses aren't quite built the same as ours, and some of them are closed off, I think, and some of them are fully dead, and some of them
If I could go through Friday, Saturday of being a football player over and over again, and then skip straight to summer workouts and just being a workout junkie with your best friends. And then that would be fantastic, man. But all of the bullshit that it took to make it through 5 years of Iowa football and all of the truly hating the situation that you were in the current moment, like, so, I just don't have the same like attachment. I'm just like, hey, those years are over.
Say you got a COVID year. Are you taking it
back then?
Yeah. Yes. Say it's January 2018. And KF's like, you got this extra year. Do you want to take it or not? Or like, Drake, what are you going to do?
I'd have had to ask you guys
for the next year. Like, what are your plans?
I would have had to ask you guys.
You would have asked us?
Oh, yeah. Oh, dude.
Not even a question. Yes.
Dude, all of you, all 13 of you could have said, nah, fuck it. I'm going to move on and get a job. I would have been like, fifth year starter at long snapper, baby. He's coming back.
Oh, no, absolutely. Dude, I would have
taken, especially if Ben still would have left. I actually would have gotten to play a little bit more. Hell yes, dude.
Dude, I would have had to have weighed it really hard.
Yeah. No, it's and okay, I'm not.
So say
I was only trying to play in the NFL.
Me, Kluver, Bo, Josie Pye leaves, Ike leaves. Say me, Kluver, and Bo stay. What are you doing?
Just us three.
What's the team look like the next? I don't know, man.
You know who was coming back and shit. You were there.
Dude, hey, I'm not – Kevin might be a little bit with his question line of questioning, and that's okay. I'm not invalidating your ideas or opinions on this because it is who you are, and that's what you wanted or didn't want. But I find it very interesting, the contrast.
Dude, now here, like – do I get the senior treatment? Like, I didn't do spring ball, and I hardly did camp going into my senior year. Like,
yes, no, Drake, you would have been on extra senior treatment. Probably.
Yes, yeah,
yeah, I'd have came back.
Okay, yeah, that makes more sense. We're gonna close this thing up 269, right? Hopefully, that sheds a little bit of light into senior day and sort of the depth that it can go into without guys realizing it. An emotional day for some not so much. And it's an experience as a former guy to watch those guys run out onto the field. Some of them technically have a chance to come back. It'll be interesting to see what happens with this next year because COVID
is really weird. It's due two senior days though.
I mean, yeah. Yeah.
Weird, man. Be weird.
I don't know. It'll be interesting. Linderbaum had the opportunity to go through it and did not. And
well, I respect that. You know, we've had a couple of guys that, you know, knew were probably going to leave, go to the NFL afterwards and didn't do that. I respect that because that's something for the seniors, man.
Right. It'll be interesting to see who I know this. Even if T Good and Linderbaum leave, that offense brings back a lot of heat next year. And should look a lot better.
I really look forward to our offense next year. Like, yeah. All the shitting I do on the offense this year only has to do with the fact that you can't improve enough in the time frame that we've got.
Once you
hit an entire year of physical development and on-field development, I'm extremely excited about our offense next year. Yeah. Just next week, not so much.
Yeah. We will be back with 270. And Jeremiah Searles on potentially Wednesday. I'm thinking about releasing this one on Wednesday because it's a Friday game. So you guys still have 2 days to listen to it beforehand, especially because it's like 12. I think it's a 12 or 12:30 kickoff on Friday. So we want to give you enough time, and that will be recorded on Tuesday. Should be out Wednesday. Don't hold me to it, but let's plan on that tentatively. 269 with the boys. We'll talk to you on Wednesday morning. Walk-ons out.